is the thinking that God wants done in order that His will may be accomplished. Let me be a little more clear. Is it God's providence that we save our souls? Is it? Does God want us to save our souls?
Yes.
However, will God save our souls without our using our minds and wills? Will He?
No.
No. In other words, God's providence is indeed that we should reach heaven. Whatever verb we use may be surprising. We may say God needs. He needs because He wants that we use our minds and our wills, our minds to learn what is on His mind, our wills to do what He wants. And then, but only then, will we be saved. Question. Does God want other people to help us reach our heavenly destiny? Does He? Do all people who enter our lives, are they always thinking, well, good thoughts? Can we always follow the people who enter our lives and say, well, these are all part of God's providence. Oh, how wonderful of God. And just follow like blind sheep. Follow the crowd. Can we be assured of our salvation by following the crowd? Does it mean that we have to, what a strange word, that we have to, well, reject some people, ignore some people, bypass some people, jump over some people, resist some people in order to do God's will and reach heaven? And we call that part of God's providence too. Because God's providence, we say, is both His positive will and His permissive will. Does God permit sinners to enter our lives?
Yes.
Temptations? Yes. And all the while, we are following God's providence. But remember, following God's providence does not merely mean that I embrace every creature. It may have been this year or last year or the year before. When we spoke about the four kinds of creatures in our lives, all four of which are part of God's providence, who remembers? There are some creatures that God wants us to remember and joy. There are some creatures that God wants us to endure. You mean God puts painful creatures into our lives for the explicit purpose that we may endure pain? Yes. And they can be very dear to us. You don't normally tell a person, "Mabel, I never realized you are that very painful creature in my life. They're part of God's providence. And my task in life is to endure you until the end." God puts into our lives creatures that He wants us to remove. And we better know what creatures in our lives it is part of God's providence that we be rid of. In general, whatever we know from experience leads me into sin. Somebody else can be safe, but not me. I must remove. And that in many ways the hardest part of God's providence, where God wants me not so much to be rid of or remove, but who remembers to sacrifice, surrender wonderful, pleasant creatures who usually have a person's name that God wants us to give up. And that giving up is then part of His providence. And I give up not only with my hands, but also, and with emphasis, with my heart. All of this is locked up in question 104, how are we part of God's providence? ...105 and 106... I'll just take two more, and then what I would like to do is to take a break and start the next course. 105, what is the eternal law? The eternal law is the eternal reason of the Creator and ruler of the universe guiding His creatures to their destiny. In other words, it is the mind of God guiding us to our destiny. And that is why I keep repeating, as I say ad nauseam, my dear friends in Christ, keep in constant contact with God. I'm not being pious in saying this. Keep in constant contact with God to know what God wants you to do at this moment and the next moment, what He wants you to do then. Keep in contact with Him. There's only one sure way of knowing God's will minute after minute, and that is by living, and I mean it, living in the atmosphere of prayer. I know I'm not talking to Cistercians or Camaldolese monks. In today's insane world, there's only one way we can keep morally sane. I know what I'm talking about. And that is to keep in contact with God by prayer. Men, 106, what does divine revelation tell us about this eternal law? In the words of the psalmist, we are told that, then we quote, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise, the simple. The peace of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I have to go back to what I've just said. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, pray as constantly as you can. I did used to talk this way 30 years ago, but I do now. I've seen too much moral wreckage. I've seen too much destruction, chaos, in bishops, in priests, in religious, in what's law-abiding and sincere Catholics, whose lives have just disintegrated. And the main single reason is they were not in constant contact with God. Whatever else I teach you, I mean it, is secondary to what I'm telling you now. Keep in constant contact with God. That openness of our mind to the mind of God, that openness of will to the will of God, is the surest guarantee we have of both knowing what God's mind is in any given moment of our lives and knowing His will. Then, closing comment. Every one of these qualities of the laws of the Lord is meant to be satisfying to the human heart. And that's what the Holy Father keeps hammering at, hitting at. We are, with all the trials, all the crosses, all the difficulties that serving God and being faithful to Christ will demand of us. No question about it. But we are to be, and this is the divine will, we are to be happy. Happy. And we'll be happy in the measure in which our minds know what God wants and our wills choose what He wants us to choose. And then you can look at the world and face the world courageously and not be afraid. There's only one security in life, and that is in doing the will of God. But to do the will of God, I've got to know what that will is. We're back to where we started. Keep in constant contact with God in prayer. Believe me, I'm not being pious or pietistic. This is cold reality. And with that, I would like to know, if you don't mind, I would like to take a break. And my clock says 1:57. A priest friend of mine did. I've never had this happen to me in my life. He sent me 4 new watches. This is the Eastern time. One watch is set for Eastern time. The other is set for Central time. The third is set for Mountain time. And the fourth is set for Pacific time. So, my Eastern time watch says 1:57. So, at 2:15, okay, we'll reassemble. In the meantime, we'll distribute the pages on St. Catherine of Siena. There's a lot to cover. I want to cover the matter. Let's say a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Mother of Divine Providence, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.